On our music night for these few moments before we go, I always, when we have these, I always like to do something to show you the value of the little blue books that are in the kind of not used very often. So if you'd grab one, tonight I'd like to give you a theology of the wonder of Christmas, the great cost that God paid to bring Christmas to us. Let's start where we just left off at 125. That's the hymn we just sang that Royce led us in. And I'd like to just read with you, and you can follow along. Some of these hymns that I'm going to share with you aren't in our book, but most of them are. This beautiful testimony of Isaac Watts, Joy to the World, is not merely about Christ's first advent, but his second advent. And he says, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King," which we know didn't happen the first time. "Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing." The second stanza, "Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns." Now that's right now, it wasn't then. He's reigning in our hearts and soon to reign on earth. "Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy." Actually, this is a millennial hymn. He postured this from Micah 5 and also Isaiah. It's actually talking about Christ's second advent more than his first. Verse 3, "No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground." You see the millennial rollback of the curse. "He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found," which of course we enjoy through salvation. Then the last stanza, "He rules the world," this is certainly millennial, "with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders, wonders of his love." Have you ever thought about the wonders of the love of Christ, the cost that he paid for Christmas? Well, I was reading the San Francisco Chronicle. Every paper sometime in the season does something about the cost of Christmas. With the hymn book not far away, let me talk to you about the wonders of Christ's love demonstrated in the cost of Christmas. It's sometimes lost by the world because Christmas is, of course, the biggest sales season of the year. In fact, Walmart, the largest retailer in the world, has already declared that this is a disaster Christmas. I mean, it's December 5th. It's a disaster already. And they are going to slash prices on the top 20 items to bring in the customers. I mean, that's how we measure Christmas. So the world has relegated Christmas to often to being just a good bargain. This is what the San Francisco Chronicle said. "You want to make this Christmas really special? You only need $66,344.46. You could buy all the gifts with that amount of money mentioned in the holiday tune, The 12 Days of Christmas. That's what all those partridges, geese, gold rings, maids a-milking, and pipers piping would cost at today's prices." And that was, by the way, Friday. And I don't think they've gone up that much since then. According to PNC Advisor, a branch of Pittsburgh's PNC Financial Services. "What would you get for $63,444.46? Well, that's the price tag of the gifts in the song because of the many repetitions. It means that you would, by the 12th day, the singer would have a major storage problem. There would be 364 presents, including a dozen partridges, a dozen pear trees, 36 ladies dancing, and on and on." So what does the world think of Christmas? It's almost a joke. They measure it in dollars and cents. But the wonder of Christ's love demonstrated in the cost of Christmas is that to God, Christmas cost himself everything. Because he had to pay the price of sin. John W. Peterson, a hymn writer that was very popular when I was growing up, wrote a cantata. I remember singing in it. I used to be in the cantatas of all things. I can still remember the words to it. It's a wonder. Be careful what you sing. You never forget it. This is what Peterson wrote about the cost to God for Christmas. It was entitled, "Down from His Glory, Ever Living Story. My God and Savior came, Jesus was His name. born in a manger to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. What condescension to bring us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight, God, gracious tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. And then the chorus, which is repeated throughout. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. The next stanza, without reluctance, flesh and blood, his substance. He took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary, and now I know he is the great I am. And then the chorus. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. So what is the wonder of Christmas? It's the cost God paid. And what did Christmas cost God? It cost him everything. The greatest giver was God, the greatest gift was salvation, and the greatest sacrifice was Christ. The wonder of Christ's love is demonstrated in the cost of Christmas, because to us receptive hearts, the cost is nothing. He paid it all, and therefore all to him I owe. The cost is already paid. Turn to 336 in your hymn book, the second hymn that talks about the cost of Christmas. To us, the receptive hearts, listen to William Sleeper's testimony. Remember, this book mostly, and throughout most centuries, it was the collection of the testimonies of individuals. Business in our age has become a multi-billion dollar lucrative industry. Did you know that most people never got paid for their hymns up until our century? The one we all stood up for, Handel's Messiah. You know why we stand up? Because Queen Victoria stood. Because she was the queen over the largest empire the world's ever known. The sun never set upon the British Empire. It circled the globe. No one else outside of God's kingdom ruled as much as she did. And when she first heard that about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, she stood for him. And that tradition has perpetuated to our day. But William Sleeper wrote this testimony before people were paid for writing their testimonies in this beautiful hymn. And this is what he says: out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus I come to thee. Out of my sickness and into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. I was sharing about Herod this morning. Herod died, King Herod the Great. He died because he never had the sin sickness of his soul cured. Do you know how he died? He died of gangrenous sores and horrible venereal disease. They said that no one could come into his presence without vomiting, because his body actually rotted while he was still living. He didn't know that out of his shameful failure and loss, he could have come to Jesus. Into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth's sorrows, into thy balm. Out of life's storms, into thy calm. Out of distress, to jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to thee. Third stanza, out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy blessed will to abide, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love. Out of despair into raptures above, upward for aye on wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb. This week's headline said that universities across the nation are trying to find a way to stem the flood of suicides among the brightest of our university students. Do you know why people often commit suicide? There's such a dread and fear of life. They don't have a healthy fear of death. They should. because most of them hurtle unprepared into the grave. But Sleeper said, out of the fear, this is what Christ, the cost that Christ paid for us to make it absolutely free for us, we can have no fear and dread of the tomb. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into the joy and light of thy home. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold. Jesus, I come. How do we come? Just go six pages over to 342. Probably the best known hymn to most people that don't even go to church or know what a hymn book is because of the endless usage of this hymn by Billy Graham. It's become probably one of the most well-known testimonies. It was Charlotte Elliott. If you ever read it, she penned this after running to her room in great conviction of soul, after hearing the gospel and realizing she needed to come to Christ but was unwilling. And if you've ever read hymn histories, what a testimony she had. She wrote this on 342, because the wonder of Christ's love is demonstrated that because he already paid the price, we can come, as Charlotte says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yes, all in need in thee I find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Well, the last stanza, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. So, what does the wonder of Christ's love demonstrated at Christmas bring to the receptive heart? Great joy. Great joy. The wonder of Christ's love is demonstrated in the cost of Christmas also to the unreceptive heart, because the cost to someone who doesn't receive Christ, as opposed to those who do, it costs them nothing. To those who don't, it costs them everything. You don't give yourself in simple faith to Christ for salvation in this world, he will charge you forever the cost, the price, the payment for your sin. That's why the vengeance of God against sin lasts forever, because it takes eternal torment to pay the price of even one sin. And that's why Jesus said the most foreboding words in his ministry was one day he looked at a group of religious leaders, and you want to have your theology put in knots. It says in the text, Luke records, that the power of God was present to heal them. And they refused Christ's healing. They weren't sick, by the way. They were religious leaders. So it's speaking of spiritual healing of their sin. And you know what Jesus said to them? He looked at them and he said, you will die in your sins. That's the worst thing he could ever say to anyone. Because you die with one sin, you pay for it forever. You die with many sins, you pay for it forever. John W. Peterson, the same one I referenced earlier, wrote another great hymn. It's called God's Final Call. Sticks with you if you listen to it. It's not in our hymn book. It says, someday you'll hear God's final call to you, to take his offer of salvation true. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew God's final call. God's final call. That was based on Christ's words that said, while you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Peterson goes on, how can you live another day in sin, thinking someday with Christ you will begin? Oh, will you hear above the world's loud din God's final call, God's final call? If you reject God's final call of grace, you'll have no chance your footsteps to retrace. All hope will then be gone, and doom you'll face. Oh, hear his call. Oh, hear his call. One more hymn to turn to. that we don't have. Again, it's in hymn number 3 in the old hymn book that I found that was here many years ago. But since we don't have that in the pews, it's all worn out. I want to read it to you. It was written, and I was talking about the 8 family members that Herod had that are chronicled in the scriptures. The last one, his great-great-grandson, was named Herod Agrippa II. And he's the one that made the classic statement to the Apostle Paul. He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian," which can be translated also with a few words. I mean, it almost is King James authorized. It could also possibly mean with so few words, but it doesn't matter. He didn't receive Christ. But when Paul's message was rejected by Herod the Great's great-grandson, Agrippa II, one of the great hymn writers of the past who traveled with D.L. Moody, P.P. Bliss, meditated on that, "Almost you persuade me." And he wrote the great hymn, "Almost Persuaded." And this is what he wrote. And by the way, what's amazing is the way that this man, Bliss, ended his life. And I'll share that with you in a minute. But listen to the cost to an unbeliever. This is what Bliss wrote. "Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive, seems now some soul to say, 'Go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call.'" Next stanza. "Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. O wanderer, come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost." Bliss wrote that for Moody in the good old days, 100-plus years ago. He left the crusade and was riding across New York State in an old steam engine fired by a large boiler that had fuel put into it. And as the sub-zero temperatures and the winds were howling, they were having to load the boiler more and more. And the wooden train was on a trestle when the fire escaped the boiler and began burning down the train cars as the train sped across this bridge. And there was nothing to do. And, of course, the locomotive operator perished, and the train jumped off the tracks and careened down into the canyon, and the whole train burned. And so when the rescuers came, they found Bliss, the hymn writer that had written this hymn, dead, burned. But they found him laying on his valise, his briefcase, and they opened it, wondering what he would have, you know, held so close to him. And it's amazing that he had written the incredible hymn, "I Will Sing of My Redeemer." In fact, I didn't even look if that's in here. "I Will Sing of My Redeemer." "I Will Sing." It is. 506. That'll be the last one we look at. I didn't even know we had captured that one. And I think it's fascinating that the last earthly words, he actually wrote this hymn on that train before he burned to death. And it's fascinating what would be on the heart of a man who died and burned to death, who was a hymn writer, just before he died. This is what he said. "I will sing of my Redeemer, of his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save, in his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be." And after he wrote those words, he was with the Son of God. Well, so what does the unreceptive hearted one get for Christmas? It costs them everything, for eternity suffering the blackness of darkness forever and the vengeance of eternal fire, because they didn't receive the one who said, "It costs me everything, so it would cost you nothing." What's the response that we should have to the wonder of Christ's love for Christmas? One response, I mentioned it this morning, we should want to give. We should want to give to the one who gave himself to me, for me, so that each of us could have his life. So I thought a great way to end our night of music would be to give something to the Lord. So I invite you to stand with me, and we're going to draw on our memory banks, okay? We're going to close our night of music thinking about the joy that came to the world, that the Lord has come, the great price he paid the ultimate price, the sacrifice of Christ, so that we would pay nothing, so that we can owe him everything, and so that we can give back to him who gave to us. A couple months ago, our chorus we sang over and over again was, "All I have belongs to you, for all I have has come from you. Nothing I own, nothing I possess, is by my own hands, it's by your faithfulness. So please take this offering from a heart of thanksgiving, for you've given all I have. The wonder of Christ's love is demonstrated in the cost of Christmas that prompts us to do as our response, the giving of ourself back to him." So let's practice from memory, okay? Close your eyes and lift your heart to the Lord and sing to him, "All I have belongs to you, for all I have has come from you. Nothing I own, nothing I possess, it's by your own hand." Let's sing that to the Lord as our closing offering of worship to him. All I have belongs to you, for all I have has come from you. Nothing I own, nothing I possess, is by my own hand, it's by your faithfulness. So please take this offering from a heart of thanksgiving, for you've given all I have. Lord, hear our voices from our hearts, and receive from us all we have, and use it for your glory every day of this week you give us until your come or call. Thank you for the wonder of your love. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. And God's people said, amen.